What about just sending out an invitation to do a quick chat via telehealth interface, just for 5 minutes? Check in, see how you're doing. That wouldn't take too much time out of your day, and it would make a really strong impression on the client.
Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello everybody, Kathy Love here, and today in the conversation I am super excited to be introducing Yannis Panos, a health tech innovator and possibly best known and most loved as the CEO and founder of CorePlus. Welcome, Yanni.
Thanks, Kathy.
So in the feeble attempt of the two of us to be able to give this conversation some structure and not let it just run away from each other, as tends to happen when we talk, we've got a couple of core questions that we're going to try and stick to. And I'm going to kind of outline that stuff now for those that are listening so you know what's coming up ahead. We're going to talk about the digital healthcare experience. We're going to talk about the changes we're each kind of seeing it and sharing it for allied health professionals to walk towards a more tech-leveraged future, and also the digital marketplace. So does that sound all right, Yanni?
That sounds great.
Take a moment, introduce yourself with a lot more magnificence than what I did a couple of seconds ago.
Well, I think you've done a great job in nicely and succinctly introducing that. But I guess a little bit of background is we started up CorePlus in 2009-10. We're very early in the market in terms of providing web-based client practice management software as a service. We've had a few firsts over the years. We integrated Medicare online claiming, which at the time was seen as very difficult. But we managed to achieve that. All the tech that the Department of Health had was good for desktop systems and server-based systems. So doing it in the cloud was a bit of a radical idea.
Whatever the cloud was back then.
Yeah, and you know, and there was a lot of fear around it at the time. And fair enough too, you know, it's where's the data and, you know, will this web application be around in a year or two? And there were a lot of sort of cool ideas that were spooling up at the time, some of which are no longer around. So it was it's a valid concern with startups to be careful. But nevertheless, we did Medicare and DBA claiming online, anywhere, anytime, the full patient and practice management experience. And we really focused specifically on allied health. And it was a very easy and deliberate choice because we're related to and have friends in the sector. And we could tell that there were a lot of problems, firstly, in adopting technology and using technology. And IT was really expensive back then. You know, if you wanted anything done, you had to install software. You needed
thousands and thousands of bucks for anything.
It was really challenging. You had to get the IT guy involved and firewalls and networks and all of these types of things.
Backup servers.
Yeah, it was a very difficult financial decision to make, even though most people would appreciate that software gives you a lot, but sometimes paying for it was a challenge. So CorePlus addressed that day one, and since then we've been staying in touch with the regulations in Australia around privacy, around security, around communication between health practitioners, and we've continued to innovate in line with that. You know, we're very Australian focused. We don't market in any other territories. We're not interested in, you know, what's happening in other parts of the world, because there's just enough complexities in the Western world in Australia to look after healthcare practitioners. Yeah,
plenty of challenges for you still to solve here in Oz.
Absolutely. So that's a little bit about our origins, and it was a proverbial sort of garage startup that's now turned into a business that has 22 people involved and a very very large network of diverse allied health practitioners. And you know, we just continue to stay focused on making sure we're making it as easy as possible to adopt and also to connect with other systems that our customers want to be using so that they can actually design their own system you know, the story, I guess, in the brand is that the core in Core Plus means that you do need a central system. You do need something that's going to deal with the client interaction, with the clinical side and the administrative side, but it may not be 100% of your needs. There are practices out there that are, they want to market, they want to connect with different systems. And so the plus side of the business is how we actually achieve that. So, you know, we're a core system for your health practice, but you're able to connect third-party products and interoperate. So the core plus something equals a bigger solution. And we're finding that that's really resonating with the customers.
Let's have a little bit of a chat about interoperability. My word for 2018, thanks to you. Because you just used it, and it's a really cool segue into this whole digital healthcare experience. What is interoperability? I can say it now quite calmly.
No, I'm really impressed, Kathy. That's great. it's got two general meanings. You know, for the technically minded, it's how systems connect with each other. There's standards and agreements on how data is exchanged between systems. So that's probably a simple way to understand that. When you have, for example, we have an integration with accounting systems like Xero. So Xero is technically integrated with Core Plus, and so the Core Plus and the Xero systems are interoperating. But in a health context, it has a deeper meaning, which is that the data has to mean something, you know, and it has to conform with what the recipient is expecting it to be and how useful it is to them in a clinical setting. So there's been an evolution in Australia, which is broadly termed digital health. And what that has worked on is making sure that the way the data is formatted, the way it's presented, the way it's documented, all has some kind of general agreement between the healthcare providers as to what it is. And so interoperability in digital health means more that we're exchanging meaningful information electronically between health practices. And there are a lot of standards in Australia that relate to that. And that's really the appropriate or a better way of understanding interoperability going forward. There's no point sort of sending you a PDF with my own shorthand annotations on there that mean a great deal to me, but when you read it, it means nothing to you. And we're apparently trying to look after the same client. So that's not going to work out really well. But if I have a document that is formatted in a way that you can read, you can interpret, you can understand the health information that's in there, then the client is going to have a better experience from both of our services. So that's interoperability, I think, in digital health context.
Yeah. And agreed language, and that's using the word language on every kind of level that there's that to-ing and fro-ing, and it's read and understood and safe and respected and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be meaningful. It's the meaningful use of information that's shared between health providers, and the tech needs to be able to deal with privacy, with security, and with formatting so that that can happen at a human level, so that the human beings involved in the equation can actually do something useful with it.
Yep. How would you describe the digital healthcare landscape and experience right now in Australia?
Early days. There are a lot of different choices that health practitioners make when it comes to technology. And I think one of the positives is that at least they're making some choices. When we were starting up, there were a lot of people who were still using paper and paper diaries.
There still are, Yanni. Just quietly. No one... Don't listen to that, people, but there still are.
All right. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's some pretty poor practices in IT out there. And but having said that, you know, change is slow, but it is happening. So digital health has a defined meaning in Australia. There's the regulators have a very specific definition for it, and it's very standards based, and there's a conformance in the tech that should be met, and Core Plus does meet that. But if you, for example, wanted to use Google Apps or Microsoft Office 365, that's tech, it's digital, and there's an incredible amount of value in the features and functions. but you're dealing with technology that hasn't been specifically designed for healthcare. And so there's some of the choices that the customers need to navigate through. You know, do they go to the Apple iStore market? Do they go to the Google Play market and pull down applications because, you know, they're cool and they're new and they're highly recommended? Or do they actually look for purpose-built and specific health tech that's designed for Australian health practitioners? So I think that where it's at the moment is that there's a really eclectic mix of choices that the health practitioners are making around the type of systems that they're using. And over time, they're going to find out more about what the right choices are. So I kind of see this as being a little way off actually achieving a much more harmonized digital healthcare system for all Australian healthcare providers. But it's heading in the right direction.
What are your thoughts on how these early days are impacting on the client / patient experience?
It's clunky. It's challenging. Most of us in Australia are using smart tech. So we've all got the phones and we're changing them every 12 months or 2 years, depending on the plan. We've got the tablets, we've got the cool laptops, the PCs. So the digital experience is in our hands. So healthcare needs to respond to that. I think anyway, we can continue to rely on the way we've always done things. But what will happen is amongst the health practitioner community, there will be some that will innovate faster and they have the tools. For example, with Core Plus, we provide an online booking portal and that's available to be embedded into a website or through a social media page. So that way you're extending your front door into the lives of your clients.
24/7.
So if they're sitting at home at 10 o'clock at night after the kids are in bed and they want to find you and actually make an appointment, they can do it at their convenience. So I think we need to start reimagining the healthcare experience to be not just the treatment, not just the appointment, but what happens before and what happens afterwards as well, so that we get what's called in the digital space engagement over a longer period of time.
Based on what you're hearing and seeing, what are great examples of the complete customer experience, the before, during and after?
There are not a lot that we're seeing that have really tied together the full digital health experience. It is an emerging idea. But around Core Plus, we do have some applications that are starting to put some pretty good stuff into play. For example, Core Plus interoperates with products like PhysiTrack. So as a physical therapy practitioner who wants to prescribe exercises, for example, that can now be extended digitally out into the client's mobile and their web browser. And so once they leave the appointment with you, they're now engaging with the prescribed exercise plans that you've put in place. And that information is coming back into Core Plus where relevant for your client notes and for your ongoing scheduling. So that's kind of an example of how we're starting to see that whole digital healthcare experience starting
beyond
to...
Beyond the room approach
It's extending beyond the room. Yeah. So if you can imagine, if I'm looking for a practitioner, I can now go to your website, I can click a book now button, I can go through your availability, I can select something that's convenient to me. And obviously convenient to you because you've advertised that slot. We make the time. I can come in and see you physically, or depending on the type of healthcare service, I can do a teleconsultation with you. At that point, you've compiled the information that you need to give me a guide as to what we should be doing next with each other. And that might be 6 appointments from now. There might be 8 appointments or 3. So now we're scheduling that and that's being communicated to me digitally. I'm being reminded about it through SMSs and direct messaging, for example. And where I'm using other tools like telehealth tools or the exercise prescriptions or portals to interact with, that's all enhancing the overall experience that I'm getting. And that's something that we really advocate strongly for. And we're trying to navigate through the plethora of technical options out there, but make them safe clinically make them secure and make them private and confidential in terms of the information that's being exchanged, so that it does fit into a digital healthcare model, not just a tech model.
Yeah. The customer experience phrase is one that there's a good group of people listening to this conversation that will have heard me rabbit on about that over the years. Customer experience. And in that example you just gave, I think that there's some magic missing between the click of the online booking and walking in the door. And I believe that there can be a really lovely, timely, respectful introduction phase as well, so that you're really building engagement, that they like you, love you, trust you before you've even met. And that's going to help manage cancellations, punctuality issues, documents not being done, the shock and jolt stuff sometimes of therapy and conversations starting too hard, too quick because of time pressure and the desire to add value. And there's this whole phase between book and arrival that I am, some of my clients are really working hard on that, which is just incredible to see, but really missed opportunity in there. Just that's my two bits worth.
Oh, look, I think that's it's absolutely valid, and we're seeing it as well. Some of the things that we're trying to deal with is, take for example, digital marketing. It's a fairly mature industry now. Yeah. A lot of people have gone out and become Google certified. And, you know, with the Google toolkit, you can apply those tools and that system to any type of business, mm-hmm. any industry. But then you come into healthcare. And healthcare has advertising guidelines that ARPA says, hey, you got to be
no
careful.
No testimonials, people.
Yeah, no testimonials. And you got to be careful about the type of techniques you're using in order to get somebody to come in and provide them a service. And so there's some pitfalls. And I think the digital marketers out there haven't really cottoned on that there's a massive opportunity to help healthcare practices to design better experiences in terms of that, from the research stage to the landing page stage to the book now to the come through to your clinic and what happens in between. So some of the things that I would suggest, and I'm working with a number of digital marketers at the moment to try and equip them with the tools to get better insights into the practice. But take, for example, if somebody's, let's say somebody's calling you and your reception answers it, how do you know whether the advertising you're doing has actually resulted in somebody being booked? You need some analytics, you need some more insights, and then you also need the wisdom to be able to refine your processes. That's important. Mm. Then you have things, for example, like intake forms. When's the right time to present that to somebody who you're just meeting for the first time? Is it during the online booking experience? Because if you do, that might be too hard. You know, in the digital marketing world, the more you try and get a customer to do through your website, the more likely it is they're going to drop out. So the conventional wisdom is to do about as much information gathering as you need to help that person get to you efficiently without being annoyed.
Calmly and confidently.
Everything and that you're putting forward.
Excited to be there. Yeah, agree.
So they're the things I think that we need to infuse or merge digital marketing thinking with health tech, so that we can figure out an ethical and a way of doing it with integrity, where somebody who's looking for healthcare services can find you and have a relatively good onboarding experience with you. And so that creates that wonderful first impression, you know, and it's, I think that's a really good energy to be then providing healthcare services with.
And then the other end of it is the exit. And I'm often in conversation and I hear the word discharge and my heart just breaks a little bit and bits fall off. And that just screams to me of the medical model, which surely we're seeing in the revision mirror. Surely it's fading in the background, but obviously not quite. And so this notion that it doesn't have to end when it ends, that through conversation and agreement, there can be a plan, a pause plan, as I call it. There can be really cool, respectful, interesting, personal follow-up afterwards that's not necessarily salesy or uncomfortable. It can be that we're curious, how are you guys going? That can be automated or personalized or not or what have you. And often therapy, I'm doing air quotes, people listening, therapy ends with that last session and a discharge report, and that's it. And so the care and the everything else is just, yeah, finishing up way too early, I suspect, from what I hear. And from my business experience as well, we changed what we did and, yeah, it made a really, really nice difference to the exit phase, if you like.
Yeah, well, I guess you could see it as a success in terms of, well, unless the client's dropping out before your prescribed care plan is complete, at which point, you know, they're missing out on the benefit of what you're trying to do for the client. But I think it needs to be thought about in the long run. You've got to build the relationship, and it's great if the client is now 100% and they're able to resume their life and normal activities. But I think this is a real opportunity for to understand digital healthcare, that with a tele health type capability, which we have some integrations with a number of products, that's a really great innovation opportunity where, let's say that somebody's been through your program and they've come out the other side and they're in a good place, and that's great. But life is long, and, you know, and there's things that happen to us on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, what have you. So at some point in time, to have some kind of really quick interaction that's personal. Yeah. And I think getting away from that salesy model is important, you know, where we use sort of software to drive mechanistic type communications. What about just sending out an invitation to do a quick chat via telehealth interface, just for 5 minutes, check in, see how you're doing. That wouldn't take too much time out of your day, and it would make a really strong impression on the client. And they may be great, which is fantastic, but if they start to have a health issue down the road, at least they're more likely to come back and pick up where they left off with you.
Memories and relationships. So if you're describing the digital healthcare landscape experience as early days, what are the next couple of steps that allied health business owners should be taking?
I think is to become aware of some of the laws and the regulations that have changed the landscape over the last 5 to 8 years. One of the most significant ones is the Privacy Act, of course, and it specifically names healthcare practitioners as a special category of businesses that need to comply. And there's some really good guidelines with the Privacy Commissioner's website on the type of things you could be doing.
And we might try and find that link for the show notes.
Sure. It's one of those things that the privacy policy and the way that you're handling information is important. And it's not just important in terms of what happens in a clinical setting, but it's also important in terms of who has access to it. I've been blogging recently about data breaches and some of the statistics coming out of the industry. And human error, unfortunately, is the number one issue. And healthcare is the number one industry that's suffering from data breaches. And admittedly, the volumes aren't huge at the moment, but we only just started recording it as a nation. So we've got to get wise to that. We need to understand how to protect the privacy and the confidentiality of the person that we're treating. And then we have to write our processes and use systems that will actually assure us that we've got at least a foundation of privacy and security in there. The next part of it would be, and let's just get to that point. Let's choose a core system that's going to be good for us to hold our data in Australia, keep it private, have secure communication with other healthcare providers. And one example of that is that CorePlus has built secure messaging communication channels with all the major GP systems. So that means that we have the largest network of GPs connected to our system to be able to receive referrals and to send reports back. So that's a really important part of it. Let's not use faxes. Let's not do emails. They're not secure. They're likely to get you into trouble. So I think that's a really good starting point, is choose a digital health ready system and then start to innovate off that. And the second stage will come, which will be, right, what systems am I going to add on? What am I going to integrate with? And this is really important because sometimes it's not just software, it's also services. So we're seeing, for example, how useful and valuable it is to be working with virtual assistants, for example. But the type of logins that a virtual assistant has could potentially be an inadvertent breach. So one example would be if I'm answering calls on your behalf and I've gone into your client's record in order to make a booking, and it turns out that I know that person and I've got some sort of social connection with them and they're dealing with something quite private in relation to their healthcare. If that comes out in any way, it's going to land back on the health practice. So we need to be just getting to know the tools and understanding what happens with data when it's in my system or when it goes out of my system into another person's system. Who's got access to it? What are the rules or conditions or constraints that we can put in place to deal with that? That's a slightly more sophisticated look at the challenge of digital health going forward. But what I would say is start with a core system today and then slowly build out from there.
Yeah, bit by bit. And so that begs the question of how do allied health businesses embrace change?
Time
for wine.
Yeah, I think it's in part, what I'm observing is in part, it's a little bit looking over the fence at each other and going, what are you doing over there? Ah, okay, you've got some online bookings going. I think I should do that as well. Or I noticed that you're using a certain type of system. I think I should do that as well.
Add into that, looking over the fence, they see that their colleagues aren't doing things. So that gives them permission to also not do things.
Yeah, it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
I actually think that one of the best things that health practices could do is build the right, let's call it a team of advisors around them, mentors, coaches, people who have the experience to navigate through the various things, because it's not just software, you know, web rule changes, like, you know, the NDIS is changing things quite regularly. Department of Health changes things. The Privacy Commissioner has guidelines. You can't stay on top of all of this stuff as a business owner or a practice owner 24/7. There's a lot to get through. So just like we would say to our clients, hey, let's build a healthcare strategy around you or a team around you. I think the same, if you forgive the pun, but the same medicine could be prescribed to ourselves, which is let's get the business experts around us, or at least have some kind of access to business experts who truly understand what digital healthcare is and are able to actually guide the practice through it. Because it's not that hard, but there is risk in choosing the wrong types of systems or the wrong types of sharing of information techniques. So the advisors is where I think we should be going now and trying to encourage the matching of advisors with health practices.
Which will require business owners to shift off the tools and the provision of clinical services in perhaps a bit of an accelerated way than what they were anticipated. Because it takes time, and unless you want to contribute all of your evenings and weekends to the business and do the midnight management, as I call it, that time has to come in daylight when people are available and able to answer the phone and emails and you can get out and meet and do things. So there's a bit of a mind shift required, as I've witnessed it.
I'd absolutely agree. In a recent article, I wrote, which was how to innovate in healthcare. It's on my LinkedIn profile if anybody's inclined to connect with me and get that. One of the conclusions I make is that, you know, you do need an attitude shift. If you can do that, the rest is relatively easy. But that's the first hurdle.
Yeah. Okay. So change, I think the other thing about change is that it's not a one-off event. And at times when I'm in conversation, I swap out change management and I put in continuous improvement or continuous progress, some of that quality project management type language. And continuous improvement is such a familiar concept to allied health professionals because that's what they deeply desire for their clients. But look in the mirror and to then apply it back to their business. A business needs to be continuously improving, not necessarily agile, but just continually growing and changing and responding and anticipating. And I've discovered that that CI kind of concept is a little bit more palatable than change management, that feels a little CEO-ish and a little kind of cardigan-ish. And so there's just such amazing information available about continuous improvement that you can just pull bits down and start to rethink things and rework things and apply it all day, every day, that it feels a little bit more doable.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of wisdom in that, Kathy. There's and there's a lot of knowledge in and around the health practice today with the information age that we have now. There's a lot of easier ways to access the information, but I do think having at least some kind of it could be a peer-to-peer reference group where you're getting together with colleagues. It could be a mentor or a coach. You need somebody there who's just going to spot you through the journey, you know, and not feel the need to do too much at once. In software, we do use the agile philosophy, and without sort of going into it in too much detail, one of the core philosophical elements is just do about as little a change as you need to add value to your customers.
For now. What's the best next thing for now?
Stay within your punching range. Deliver a little improvement, get some feedback. It's either valued or it isn't, and then do a little bit of change again. And if you do it that way, you don't have to stress about visualizing where things are going to be in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, because that's been the traditional big business planning cycle. It's let's look at 5 years, let's get a vision, let's get a mission, and then try and translate that into today terms. It's like, no, we could just look at 2 weeks from now.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Take a step in that direction. It either is positive or it's not. If it's not, don't do any more of it. Move on to the next thing and just iterate slowly but surely. And I think that's the best way to actually achieve continuous improvement.
Yeah, bite by bite. The digital marketplace, I'm really interested to hear how you would describe that. And then I want to kind of give you the magic wand for you to share up what you think it's going to look like. So how would you describe what the digital marketplace is?
Okay, in broad terms, it's two things. It's, maybe three, I'd say, although people is one of them, and the other one is technology. Mm-hmm. So technology is, it's the likes of Core Plus, it's the Physitrax, it's the HealthLink, Argus, it's dictation tools,
clinic apps,
services. Yep. It's those kinds of things. But there are people who are on the end of the tools, of the technology, so to speak. So a digital marketplace should be seen as a combination of people and products where you are safely and securely and confidentially able to communicate with them and share information with them. So in my vision, I kind of constantly remind myself and my team that we're a platform, and what we need to be thinking about is how to enable our customers to be able to not just have a one-on-one relationship with their client, but to also be part of the healthcare system in Australia. So that means if there's a psychologist up the road who happens to be working with your client, and you're an OT or a physio and you're working with that client, well, wouldn't it be great if you could share some information where relevant that actually improves and optimizes the treatments and the caring that's happening for the individual. So a marketplace could be seen in that context where maybe the language isn't quite right, but you're dealing with being part of an ecosystem, a community of healthcare providers, and you're part of the healthcare system. So you should be discoverable. Other health practitioners should be able to find you. They should be able to share clients with you. You should have that same willingness to share and be a part of their world also. And so that's how I see the marketplace working. And so the tools, the technology that we're using then facilitates the interoperability of all of the healthcare providers in the marketplace or in the ecosystem. That's how I see it kind of working. Some, you know, one example I was alluding to this earlier is with You know, last week, for example, the Australian Physiotherapy Association issued a study, results of a study where only 13% of physio-related issues that are amenable to physiotherapy healthcare services are actually being referred to physios.
So from the GPs.
From the GP, that's right, yeah. Mm. So it begs the question, where are the 87% going? So is a great example. Well, are they just being told to just leave it a week and take a Panadol and see how they feel?
Wow.
This is a great opportunity. If you're connected to the same systems as the GPs, with secure messaging, for example, which Call Plus is, you can be visible to the GP. You've got to promote a little bit. You need to sort of, you know, maybe run a little, you know, sandwiches, beer and wine kind of evening in your practice to invite the GP in and say, well, this is where I am and these are my specializations and this is what I do. And by the way, I'm connected to the same system as you and here's my secure messaging address. The GP going forward is able to look you up, is able to find you electronically, is able to share the referral information with you and then guide that client your way. Okay. And so that's ecosystem thinking. It's about actually getting yourself into the same healthcare system as where your referrers are originating from.
Yeah. So GPs have committed to stopping faxes and letters. Is it all going to be digital?
We're told that it is, but I can still imagine some, you know, handheld letters still being circulated. There is a small percentage of GPs who probably will never take up technology then.
Never pack up the fax.
Well, the fax they will, but they may just choose to print letters. But I think on the main, overwhelmingly, the RACGP is on record publicly as having a goal to get all its members, which I think number around 41,000 at the moment, GPs around Australia, to get all their members off faxes and using secure messaging. So that is an amazing opportunity for Allied Health to get connected with secure messaging and to let the GP referrers in their network, in their vicinity, know what that address is.
Yeah.
And the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah. Wow. So that is not even in debate. That is in the next 12 months.
That's right. And there was a, over the last almost 2 years now, there has been a industry cooperative with the Australian Digital Health Agency that made sure that the technology was supporting the RACGP's objectives in that regard. And Core Plus was the only focused allied healthcare product that was part of that consortium. So we had, you know, the GP systems, some hospital systems, some medical specialist systems, Core Plus and the Australian Digital Health Agency co-design and co-create secure messaging interoperability to ensure that once the GPs are switching over fully, that we can all share that information between us. So it's technically the problem is solved. It's now just a cultural thing for the allied health profession and other professions to get on it.
Get into it, yeah. You probably thought I was joking about the magic wand. Did you know that I actually have one?
I'm looking at it right now.
I've had this on my desk, I don't know, I'm going to say about 15 years. That could be dramatic. It's created a few magic moments, not all good. But so if you've got the wand, here it is, handing it over. What is digital healthcare going to look like in the next 5 years?
Well, what I'm hoping, I guess my magic wand would be that Australians are better informed around their choices in healthcare, more empowered, and they're valuing getting their own team of healthcare providers around them. I think it's really important that we all take responsibility for our healthcare, but we recognise that, you know, there are experts in various fields and we need to form our relationship with them. And, you know, to some extent, the way we've been doing things in the past, you know, by just, I guess, not having as much access to allied health and being more connected with allied health. My future state would be that we're more directly engaged with our allied health practitioners. I think it's really important. The tech can do that. We don't all need referrals from GPs. There are other ways to activate where payers and insurers are applicable, or even value it to the extent that we're paying for it out of pocket, because the statistics are not great at the moment coming out of the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. We seem to be, you know, getting worse, and yeah, the issues around
it are less exercise.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe that, you know, most adults don't, you know, I think it's something like 5% of adults in Australia eat the recommended daily intake of fruit and vegetables. That's quite astounding.
Okay. I could be lowering that statistic. I might need to wave my magic wand around in the kitchen a little more. Gosh. Yeah. So it's really about Australians, all of us included, building in a health and wellness team around us.
That's right. We're really integrating the healthcare providers into our lifestyle, you know, so that the setting of healthcare is wherever I happen to be, you know, in that context. So if I need a teleconsult, I can do it. If I need some information, I can get access to it reasonably instantly. If I need some guidance on how to do things, it's available in the palm of my hand. You know, that and I'm visiting health practitioners as needed in line with those kinds of plans that I'm responding to. I also think that there's a possibility to reimagine the business model of healthcare. It could be a bit controversial, but
this could be my first 2-hour podcast.
Well, I'd love to try this if there are some innovative health practitioners out there. But I wonder whether we could actually introduce a subscription-styled healthcare service.
Yes. Let's do this on another topic. Let's do this on another podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd love to talk more about it.
Yeah, I went researching after we spoke last and I found some examples. I can't even remember if I sent them to you. But, it's a thing. It's a thing. I'm a big fan of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I'd love to get into it because there's a lot of evidence that suggests that once you take the decision out
the business
of the way
out of it,
pay for something,
agreed.
We can just get down to actually enjoying the service from that point onwards.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, let's do that as another topic perhaps later this year.
Sure.
I'm going to give you the very last word to everybody who's listening. What do you want to share as the close on this one?
Well, let me see. I've always got a lot to talk about, Kathy, as you know.
You've got to nutshell it this time.
Let's see. Big challenge. But think about my last word would be that not all tech is going to be the right choice for you. But there's a lot of tech starting to evolve that is specifically designed for the Australian regulatory and legal framework that you're operating in, whether it's APRA, whether it's privacy, whether it's the payers that you're engaged with. So it's important to understand digital health today and to open yourself up to the possibility that your clients are going to be more amenable to working with healthcare practitioners that are making it easier for them to engage with, not the other way around. And so the whole the word digital in digital healthcare really goes towards extending your visibility and your reach into the lives and lifestyles of your clients. And so that's what I'd encourage the listeners to really think about. And if they want to talk more specifically about it, I'm always available to have a chat.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Annie, for sharing up that wisdom today. And yes, we'll reconnect with the old, the new membership subscription-based thinking that stuff lights me up. Thank you so much. We will put all the appropriate links to you and Core Plus and everything else in the show notes. So come back and join us real soon.
Thanks, Kathy. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate the work you're doing in the podcast area as well. I'm really enjoying listening to the interviews that you're doing. You've got a great style about yourself.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.